Chapter 4. Plastic Attack. 7:30 a.m. The alarm bleeped and Rose rolled out of bed to begin her Saturday shift. But then her mother's voice carried through. No point in getting up, darling. You've got no job to go to. A pause, then. Although, if you want to make me breakfast, I won't complain. Rose had a shower, then microwaved some porridge for the two of them. Jackie was in full flow, possibly, on some level, in the eternal and mysterious war between mothers and daughters. She reckoned she'd been too kind to Rose the night before, and now she was restoring the balance by going on the attack. That job was giving you airs and graces, said Jackie. Let's face it, sweetheart, you're many things, but you're not West End. Now, Martin and Heath said they needed someone. That's right up your street. Do you mean the butchers? What's wrong with that? They're not even proper. They sell scrag ends. There you go, said Jackie victorious. Airs and graces, and don't tell me you're too grand to apply for compensation. They owe you, Henricks. You've had a genuine shock and trauma. It's easy to apply. I've seen the form. It's 3 pages long, 20 minutes work. That's your lot. I know for a fact Arianna got 2,000 quid off the council because the man at the desk said she looked Greek. I know she is Greek. That's not the point. It was a valid claim. Well, look, I suppose, yeah, but give it a day or two, said Rose. They're still searching the wreckage. I don't want to look ghoulish. Oh, I'm ghoulish, am I? Said Jackie, seizing a fence out of thin air. That's a lovely thing to say to your own mother. And she grabbed her mug of tea and marched off to her bedroom. Thank you very much indeed. Rose sighed. She needed a new job as fast as possible. Not just for the money, but to get away from her mother. Then she heard that scrabbling again, the tick, tick, tick of claws on flooring. Bloody cat! Where was it, behind the settee? She'd forgotten about waking at 3 a.m, only remembering now with a rush of anger. Her mother again, always promising to nail down that cat flap, except a promise to fix the cat flap had been one of the last things Rose's father had said on the day he died, or so the story said. It was part of the family law. The day Pete and Jackie Tyler were due to go to Stuart and Sarah's wedding back in 1987. He'd popped out to buy a wedding present and never came home. Killed by a hit-and-run driver on Jordan Road. Life went on in number 143, but his promises went unfulfilled. To fix that cupboard door, to glue down that lino, to replace those polystyrene tiles and nail down the cat flap. Over the years, other people stepped in to help. Replacing doors and carpet and light bulbs. Everything except the cat flap. I'll do it, insisted Jackie, a little bit too shrill every time. And yet, she left it undone, like she was still waiting for him to come home. Rose swallowed her anger. She'd go and give her mum a great big hug and say sorry as soon as she could find the cat. She looked behind the settee, but tick, 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 the noise scattered away into the corner of the room. Funny sound, thought Rose. Too light for a cat. Too busy. The noise came again, scrabbling, scratching, scraping from behind the armchair, a dark corner enclosed by stacks of Jackie's old magazines. Now I've got you, thought Rose. She stepped towards the chair. The scrabbling intensified. She was holding her breath as she crept closer. Behind the chair, the noise became a drumming on the floor. That thing was furious. Or maybe drawing her in, on purpose, like it wanted a fight. Rose took hold of the arms of the chair, ready to yank the entire thing away to reveal the intruder. But then she heard the cat flap. Not another one. She abandoned the chair and stormed down the hall, passing the framed photographs of her father, blonde, watery-eyed Pete, a nervous smile on his face, like he was always about to be found out. Dad, this is your fault, thought Rose. And she could see the cat flap swinging, something nudging it from the other side. She knelt down, ready to grab the little swine, and as she lifted up the flap, there was a face! His face! The doctor! On his hands and knees outside, staring through the cat flap with a big, silly smile. Hello, he said. Rose stood up, determined to take control this time, as she swung open the front door. But before she could say, what are you doing here? He said it first. What are you doing here? I live here, protested Rose. Well, what'd you do that for? She spluttered. He was always one sentence ahead. she found herself reaching for words, saying hopelessly, "Because I do." The doctor held up his little metal device. "I must have got the wrong signal. I was scanning for plastic." "You're not plastic, are you?" And he tapped her on the head. "Nope. Bonehead. Bye then." He turned to go, but she grabbed hold of his leather jacket and yanked him back. "Oh, no, you don't," she said. "Inside, right now." She pulled him into the hallway and slammed the door shut, but Rose had barely hauled the doctor 5 steps inside before Jackie interrupted. "Who are you then?" she called out from her bedroom, leaning back from her dressing table to see. "Hello," said the doctor, in that blunt way of his, and he gave Jackie a little wave as he stood in her bedroom doorway, looking around as though every single detail of number 143 fascinated him. Jackie stood up and Rose's heart sank as she saw her mother's familiar little glance up and down, registering the presence of a man in the flat. Jackie cinched the belt on her dressing gown a little tighter and shifted her weight, making herself shorter so she could look up and blink more helplessly, mascara as subtle as a potato print. "Hello, stranger." "He's from the council," said Rose. Lying to her mother came easily. "Leave us alone, you get dressed, I'll deal with it." She walked ahead into the living room, but then looked back to see that the doctor had stayed behind, staring down at her mother. "She deserves compensation," said Jackie. "We're talking millions. I'd happily talk you through it, at length. Except here I am, in my dressing gown." She moved a little closer to him. "And there's a strange man in my bedroom."
"So?" said the doctor.
"Well," said Jackie, "anything could happen."
"No," he said, and walked on. Rose burst out laughing. Maybe he wasn't so bad, this man. He had a tough guy swagger, clumping into the living room in his heavy boots, but his eyes caught the morning light and glittered, like he was much more fun than he first appeared. And then Rose thought, God help me, I'm turning into my mother. Don't fancy him. She checked to see that Jackie had gone back into her bedroom and then said in a low voice, "Listen, seriously, we need to go to the police, both of us, and if you won't, I'm going on my own and I'm telling them all about you." He was ignoring her, picking up a copy of Heat magazine. He glanced at the double spread celebrity wedding. "That won't last. He's gay and she's an alien."
"Excuse me," said Rose, "I'm not kidding. I don't know who those dummy people were, and I don't know what that stuff was in the pipes, but it's not funny. Wilson's still missing, and you said he was dead."
But now he was looking at himself in the mirror, ducking to and fro to study his face from different angles. "Not bad," he said. "Could have been worse. Nice ears. I'm never ginger, though. Why is that?"
Rose was getting fed up. "Doctor," she insisted, then adding, "Doctor... who is it? What's your name?" But he looked up, alert, as they both heard the tick, tick, tick noise. "That scrabbling again, from behind the chair. Have you got a cat?"
"No, it must be a stray. They come in off the estate."
"Anyway, will you listen to me? I need to know what happened to Wilson, and what entitles you to go around blowing up buildings. There's like 300 of us unemployed, thanks to you."
But he just stood there, concentrating. Those fine ears, like a radar.
"Doesn't sound like a cat."
"Oh, God, well, if it's a rat, don't tell my mother." In the background, Jackie's hairdryer started up. Thank God she couldn't hear this. She is literally like a cartoon when it comes to rats.
"Let's have a look," said the doctor, and he lifted up the chair. No cat, no rat. Just the plastic arm from last night, lying on the floor, palm facing up, fingers curled inwards, like some creature that had died in the dark.
"What's that doing there?" said Rose, annoyed.
"Someone must be playing a trick. I gave it to Mickey. He took it with him. I saw him. He carried it out."
"It came back," said the doctor, his voice grim. He carefully put the chair to one side and squatted down in front of the arm, as though wary of it.
Rose said, "Well, how did it get inside here?"
"Through the cat flap."
"Who'd do that, though?"
"No one. It did it on its own."
"Oh, for God's sake," said Rose. "Don't be ridiculous."
"But then all on its own? The arm flipped 180 degrees to land palm down, the fingers like legs now. Actually..." exactly like legs, propelling it along fast, scuttling with a tick-tick-tick on the floor, and it ran to the doctor, climbed up his body all the way up to his neck, where the hand began strangling him. The doctor was being strangled by a plastic hand. The doctor was standing in the middle of number 143, her home, being strangled by an animated plastic hand intent on killing him. Rose stood there staring as he said, "Gah!" and "Ah!" and held onto the arm with both hands, trying to pull it away. Exactly like Mickey had done in the same room last night, the same joke. Except she could see the fingers digging into the doctor's neck, and she thought, "I am doing nothing again." She threw herself at the doctor, grabbed hold of the arm. She pulled and pulled, the doctor heaving at the arm too. But it wouldn't shift. It was locked in a death grip. His eyes were boggling now, spit flecking at his lips. It was killing him. She pulled to the right. The doctor pulled to the left. Then they both tried pulling different ways at the same time, so they toppled over, landing on Jackie's bamboo and glass coffee table. It shattered into sticks and shards. The doctor rolled onto his back. Even in the panic, Rose realised he was protecting her from the broken glass, and she straddled his chest, heaving at the arm. But its grip tightened as the doctor let go, digging into his inside pocket, searching for something. Rose was left alone to hold the arm, and dear God, the strength of it, the heat. She could feel plastic veins and plastic muscles bulging inside the plastic skin. Then the doctor pulled out his metal device, dug it right into the arm, and made it whir, loud and shrill. The arm stopped. It stiffened like a dead thing, and Rose pulled it away from the doctor's neck. She saw a patina of cracks scatter across its skin like old varnish. The doctor struggled to catch his breath, and then he grinned at her, that brilliant smile. Rose looked down and couldn't help it. She burst out laughing. "What the hell?" It was Jackie, standing in the doorway, seeing her daughter panting and dishevelled, straddling the chest of a man in a leather jacket, lying in the wreckage of her precious coffee table while holding a spare arm. "Rose Tyler," she said, "you tart."